Well, you can raise it up or take my shoes off, which we're going to do. A little bit of both. Got it?
Okay.
Yep, good. Can't pound on it. I don't know what'll happen if I start pounding. Before I get started this morning, I do want to thank you, those of you that have supported the book launching last week. There was lots and lots of prayer that went out for that, and I'm just so appreciative of the support and the love that I received through that, the good reports I'm hearing, people that are reading it, and they're being challenged by some things and encouraged in some other things. And, you know, it's just been an honor to watch the Lord unfold the message. And so I apologize for this. Last week there was a few of you that had wanted to purchase the book, and the little debit card reader wasn't working, but we fixed that. And so Naomi, after the service, will be up in the foyer with the little, thank you, and take care of that if there is a book that you'd wanted to purchase. But I really appreciate that. And I ask you this, that you would continue as the Lord leads you to pray. The platform that God has given us to get the message out for the bride is pretty widespread. I'm sending books to different places in the United States, and I really believe that the message is timely. It's a now word, and we have to be prepared as the bride of Christ for his return. And so I just ask that you'd continue to pray that God would be glorified and his message would get out. So again, thank you, and may God be given glory through that message. So today, I felt impressed to speak to you out of the book of Luke. We're going to be going in a lot of different to a lot of different other scriptures, but this morning we're going to start in Luke 12, starting in verse 29. I'll just read a couple of those verses. Father, we do thank you for your word, and I know that we could go a million different directions with this passage of scripture, but I pray that by your Spirit that you would speak to every heart, that, Lord, you would reveal your character to us, and that we would be enlightened and drawn, allured into that place with you, that you would show us the essence of your heart for your people. And so have your way this morning and speak and move according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name. Luke 12, 29 through 32 says, "And do not seek what you should eat, what you should drink, nor have an anxious thought. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Over the last few weeks, I have ministered to a lot of different people, had a lot of different conversations, people within the ministry, outside of the ministry, in the community, and they have been hurt or are struggling with particular conditions in their lives, some by their own choices, others by the choices of someone else. But whether they feel convicted about their poor attitudes or guilt-ridden because of decisions that they made that led to these difficult consequences, there seemed to be a recurring statement that was said and even not said by many of them. And at the end of our conversation, I had a number of people say to me, "Please don't give up on me." And it wasn't really that they were worried that I would give up on them. What I think was at the real heart of what they were saying was, "Pray that God will not give up on me." And it really began to kind of resound in my ear and in my heart. You see, people are looking for someone to believe in them and to stand with them and to not give up. And, you know, I spoke about that a few weeks ago in the message about the advocate, but when we make mistakes, oftentimes we find ourselves falling short of this mark, and there's a fear that creeps into our hearts that maybe God is going to give up on me. I would say that that belief really brings a tremendous amount of fear, that there is a line somewhere, there's a number, and when I cross that line or I reach that number, that's kind of the end. Well, who knows what that number is? Who knows where that line is? If I stumble and fall four times in one particular area, is that one time too many? Is it a three strikes, you're out? See, the world doesn't really know, and there's this fear that continues to creep in. I don't know of anywhere where we find where that line has been drawn, or that there's a certain specific number that when we cross over, that's the end. God's just finished, and he's just given up. But isn't that really what makes it frightening, to not know? God understands our ways, however. He knows that we are really dependent on him. He knows that we are more dependent on him than we realize. Many of us think we've got this thing and we've figured it out and we've been saved a long time, but we're still very dependent upon him. So today I want to talk about his character, not as God, not as Lord, not as King, but as Father. Though he is all those things, he is Father, and I want to just address that one characteristic of him that can really change some of that fear about where he is and where that line really is. The Jews had a lot of different names for him. We find that if they had a need in their life, they would call him Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. If they were anxious, they would call him Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. If they were lonely or afraid, they might call on Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. If they needed leadership, they would call on Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord our shepherd. If they were sick, they would call on Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. And there's other names that they would call him. However, Jesus revealed another name to the disciples, the name of God, when they asked him how they should pray. And in Luke 11, 1 and 2, we see the scripture. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Can you imagine that position, that scenario? Here, the disciples getting firsthand information from Jesus on how to pray. And he didn't reply, pray to my Father. He's my Father, and you need to pray to my Father. He says, pray our Father. He teaches them to pray to their Father. He says the same thing to us today. In fact, in this passage, the Aramaic word Father is actually Abba. Abba is used and translated into our English, it means daddy. He taught them to pray, when you pray, say daddy. Many people pray to Jesus. Jesus didn't instruct them to pray to him. He instructed them to pray to Abba, to daddy. John 16:23 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you." Jesus said, pray to the Father, pray to Daddy, pray to Abba. When I think about him delivering me out of darkness, those years that I rebelled against him, and yet he sowed and he plowed and he planted in my life. And then one day he delivered me out of darkness into his light. And he gave me a position, a right to call him Abba. He gave me an understanding that he wanted to have relationship with me as Father. And when it happened, I was adopted. I was taken in. And at that adoption, it was given to me the right to call him Father. It wasn't temporary. It was not a fleeting moment. It was eternal. It was forever. I can call him Father. And if you have relationship with him, you can too. It's his desire. Do you believe it's his desire that you call him Father? That you pray to him, dependent on him? When I'm scared, I can call him Father. When I am in need, I can call the Father. When I'm hurting, I can call him Father. When I'm sick, I can call him Father. When I'm joyful, when I'm happy. You see, we just don't call him Father when we're hurting and sad. We've given a part of a gospel message that just says, well, just come to Jesus, he'll fix everything. Well, come to Jesus when you're happy too. Come to the Father and rejoice with him and celebrate with him everything he's done in our lives. Like Colmanique said this morning, she can't hardly contain her excitement and her joy. We can come to him, Father, thank you. Thank you. You're so good. You're so faithful. John 10:28 says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." You see, this is an eternal position, a position he desires to have with you forever. 1 Peter 1:3-5 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." It's a permanent relationship that he desires to have with you. He created you. He loved you. He chose you and now promises to keep you. The Father knows you have many needs. He knows all of them. Just as an earthly father knows of all the needs of his children, God the Father knows of ours. And can I say this morning to you? It's his responsibility to take care of you. Does that make you uncomfortable? Is that hard for you to believe? That it's his responsibility? Does it feel as if you're imposing on him? Does it feel wrong to say that it's his responsibility? Luke 12:30 says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." To believe it's not his responsibility is to believe he knows you need those things but won't give them to you. The verses before that talk about what those things are, food and clothing and drink. He knows that you have need of those things. You're not imposing on him. Do you think he had the power to save you? He has the power to deliver you. He has the power to bring you into his eternal kingdom, and yet he does not have the power to provide for you. He's your father, and he's responsible for you, and he gladly takes on that responsibility. So many times people struggle because they believe that God is just begrudgingly gracious or generous. They have this image of the Father just kind of grudgingly having to give us if we just beg enough, if we cry enough, but that's not the true characteristic of the Father. My grandfather was like that. My grandfather had the means to provide for me. I lived with him for a period of time when I was in school, and he had provision, he had the ability to provide, but he begrudgingly gave. I would go to him and have need of something, and we would have this conversation, and he would just kind of roll his eyes and say, "What do you need now?" And I'd say, "Well, Grandpa, I have this need for school," whatever it might have been. And he'd say, "Well, why do you have to have that? Can't you just do without that? Is it because everybody else has it?" And I'd say, "No, I have to have it." And he'd say, "Well, don't you have the money? Didn't I just give you money? Didn't I just take care of you?" "Well, yeah, Grandpa, but this was something I didn't know was going to take place." "Well, you know what? No one provided for me when I was in school. You're just going to have to figure it out and provide for yourself." And I hated to go to him for something. I hated to go and ask him, because the bottom line was I didn't know if I would receive what it was I was asking for. I didn't know how I would have to present it. And then I was afraid that I wouldn't get it, even though it was very important to me. And that's kind of how I lived for a while. And those beliefs, actually, I grew up with that up into my adult years. And I was a Christian, and I would pray for you. I would ask God for big things. I'd have faith to believe that he would take care of all of these things. But when it came to my desires, my needs, I didn't ask for those. Because at the bottom line, that core belief would sneak in, I just don't know that he'll provide for me. And it hindered my prayers for a long time. One day, the Lord healed me of that. And he showed me that he delights in me asking him. He delights in me understanding that he wants me to be dependent upon him. The longer I have walked with him, the more I have to continually go back to that place. I depend on you, Lord. It's all about you. I'm asking you this one more time. Daddy, will you help me here? Will you give me strength? Will you give me understanding? Will you provide in this way? He is responsible for us as Father. We're told throughout his word that he's gracious and kind, that he's a generous Father, and according to the book of Luke, he gives good gifts to his children. So this is a position of responsibility that he has. He not only has responsibility for us and to us, he also has the resources as Father. It's not just that he has this responsibility, but he has the resources that are necessary to provide. My son is at college right now, and although Tom would love to be able to provide for all of Tommy's needs, all of his wants, all of his desires, no matter how much we would want to do that for him, we're unable to. We don't have this bottomless pit of resources to provide for our children and meet all of their needs. But we've had to teach our son to trust in the Lord for those things. You have a father that has the resources to meet all of your needs. And if you think about the millions of Christians in here, the father has the resources to meet every one of his sons and daughters' needs around the world. That's amazing how vast his resources are, how much that he really has. And he desires that none would perish, that everyone would know him as Father. His resources are limitless. He can provide for you. He has all those things necessary to take care of all of his sons, all of his daughters, not just financial needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, physical needs. As Randall said during his prayer in Luke 12:31, it says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." You see, he has the ability to back up that promise. It's not an empty statement. He can provide for you and all that you need if you seek the kingdom of God. It's not just about you calling on the name of Jesus and he's your bubblegum machine and you just stick that quarter in Sunday morning in the offering plate and out comes your blessing. He says, if you seek his kingdom, if you seek him as Father, you seek his ways and his will, he'll add all these things to you. The Father will never fail you. He is more than able to sustain you. He is more than able to provide for you. But at the heart of many a believer lays this question: is he going to take care of me in this circumstance? In this situation, in this trial that I'm in, is he going to take care of me? In the crisis of our world and the things we're facing, is he going to take care of us? In the financial issues that you have, is he going to provide for me this time? In your employment issues, your need for employment, is he going to provide for me? In your marriage, in your family, is he going to come through? He's more than able. Can I just remind you of a couple scriptures, a couple miracles, so to speak, that he did? He created the universe with his spoken word. He covered Noah's family in the flood. He fed Elijah through the ravens. He caused the sun to stand still. He kept three Hebrew boys safe in a furnace of fire. He delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. He parted the Red Sea. He provided manna from heaven for his people and caused water to spew forth from a rock that they would not thirst. He gave David victory over Goliath. He restored everything to Job. He sent Jesus Christ to earth from heaven. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He fed the 5,000. He filled fishing nets to overflowing. He turned water into wine. He cleansed lepers. He healed multitudes and caused the blind to see. He severed an ear that had been cut off from a man's head. He saved you, and he saved me. John 21:25 says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. You say, well, that talks about Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's done marvelous works. Of course he can take care of you. Of course he can meet your need. Of course he can deliver you. Of course he can set you free. Of course he can provide for you. The Father is not only responsible for you, not only does he have the resources to take care of you, but he's also available for you. So you need to believe that your Father is available to you. All day, all night, every day, every moment, he's available to you. There are times when we as human parents are not as available as we should be to our children. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we are estranged from them for one reason or another. Sometimes one problem or another gets in our way. We don't see the need, or we don't, in some cases, don't even want to get involved. But that's not the way it is with the true Father, the one in heaven. He is always near. He's always available. Day or night, he is there. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Come to me. Some of you here today are so weary. You're so weary. You have labored long. You're tired. You're weary from the battle. And you've become heavy laden. The Lord says, "Come to me." The Father says, "I'll give you rest." Your rest will not be found in a vacation to Jamaica. I know. I've been there. And I left that place, and it was beautiful, and it was fun, but I left, and I still was not spiritually rested. I've been all over the world. I've been places. I've been on cruises. I've been to these exotic places people dream of, spend their whole life saving to go, and I came back, and I was not spiritually rested. You see, there's a rest that only the Father can give. And it does not come when you travel far away, because there you will be found. You go there and you're going to find yourself. And you're going to find your issues. But in the presence of the Father, he can turn that weariness into strength. He can fill you again. He desires to fill you, to give you all the rest that you need. Come to me, he says. Hebrews 13:5, he said, "For he himself has said," we all know this scripture, but I love that God confirmed it by his own words. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said that. Scripture says, "For he himself has said." That's not just, you have to take my word for it. Oh, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He himself has said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Matthew 28:20 says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is available to us. Always. Mariah, would you come, please, honey? Luke 12:32 says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear. See, at the heart of man is this place that we fear that our needs will not be met. And he addresses that. He says, "Do not fear, little flock. What a term of endearment. Do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure. The words good pleasure mean to choose, to determine, to be ready, to be well pleased with, to do that which seems good. God has determined to be ready to do that which is good for his children. He's determined. He's available. He's ready to do that which is good. This implies that he has made himself available to us. What a beautiful promise. The Father, desiring relationship with you. Do not fear, he says. I talk to men occasionally, and I address this area of fear. It says, you're walking in fear. I am not afraid of anything. Oh, yes, you are. And the Father says, do not fear. I'm for you. When difficult things in life happen, the enemy will often come into those circumstances and begin to speak, bringing the questions, why is this happening? Where is the Father in this? Have I sinned? Have I crossed the line? Will he provide? Is God angry with me? Where is he in all of this mess? Has he given up on me? See, those people that I talked to that said, please don't give up on me, it's not about me. It's about God, the Father. Has he given up on me? You see, if I can talk to someone in the flesh that I believe in and that I trust, and I say, don't give up on me. And if I respond to them and say, I'm not going to give up on you. Somehow there is this belief that I have a link to the Father. And if I won't give up on them, surely the Father won't give up on them. But you have a greater one, the one that the Father delights in providing for, the one who he hasn't, this line, he says, you crossed that line, that was one too many times. The enemy will begin to have you questioning the Father's responsibility for you. He will have you questioning his resources to provide, and he'll have you questioning his availability for you. That's where he begins the lies. That's where he begins to torment. But you see, the Father is good. The Father's always good. Don't ever let yourself come into agreement. Don't ever let yourself believing and embracing the lies that the Father is anything but good. He is good, and his thoughts towards you are good, and he wants to make himself available to you. And he has those resources always at his disposal. But he's looking for relationship. He doesn't just throw things out there and not have the desire to have you turn toward him. When Komenique was testifying this morning of God's goodness, she had been seeking him. She testified, I cried out, and in my pain, he heard me. In my tears, he heard me. He knew. And he answered me. And then he didn't just provide a place to live. He actually let me pick the paint out and the tile. And he went above and beyond those things I even asked of my Father. And he'll do the same for you. He'll do that for you. Kolmanik is a wonderful, wonderful person. I've spent time with her, and I know she loves the Lord and desires to please him, but he's no respecter of persons. She would tell you that she's no one special, an elite in the kingdom. Her father just heard her cry. And he hears you too. He hears you too. Mariah's going to sing this morning, and I pray that you'll be willing to receive him as Father. That if you're weary, you'll come to him. If you have need, that first and foremost, that you'll position yourself as son and daughter. If you know him as Lord and Savior and have not known him as Father, I pray this is the morning that you will. So Mariah, would you sing this morning, and let's just stand in the presence of the Lord. If you need to come to the altar, you can. This is your place. This is your altar. But he wants you to trust him, to know that he's available for you. Father, meet us this morning. Just in that special, gentle way. For those of us that did not have fathers who were loving and gentle and desired to give, desired to be generous, would you just show yourself in that character to us this morning? Would you just show us your character as Father? Would you just silence those voices of the enemy that would just continue to tell us that God does not hear, that God is not faithful? We thank you, Father. Meet your sons, meet your daughters in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name.